Right, welcome to the 8th edition of the Manx Footy Pod. I'm delighted to say, along with Dave.
Hey everyone.
I'm joined by Corinthians duo Josh Ridings and Sean Doyle, who are here to reflect on last week's, I'm going to call it historic result.
And infamous.
Infamous and historic, that's two of the cliches used up already.
Yep.
As well as a reflect on the Corinthians season as a whole. So without further ado, let's get on with it. Right, chaps, welcome along to the extended broom cupboard. I know you're a little bit gutted that we weren't in the original recording studio, but Sean, simply a man of your stature, didn't we get you in there?
Too tall, aren't I? I'm a beanpole.
A beanpole, that's it. You've given me a bit of stick because I referred to you as a beanpole striker in the paper this week, but you prefer that to Peter Crouch, I believe?
I much prefer that to Peter Crouch.
we're here to talk about last week's amazing 4-3 victory over St George's. The stats have just been broken, haven't they? I was trying to rack them up, but was it the first home defeat since 2014?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the first league defeat since 2015.
January 2015, yeah.
They've won their last 30 matches in a row.
Yeah. No one saw that result coming. What about you guys?
I can't say we saw it coming either. We obviously always confident going into games and stuff, but I don't think we expected to beat Geordies.
And after such a tough month, obviously, following the loss of Louis, it must have made it even more special, wasn't it?
It was. I think after that, I think the air game was that was a tough game.
Yeah.
To try and get over that, first and foremost. But for that Geordies game, for me personally, it was back to normal. I was just saying to Sean before, at the time, we didn't really realise how emotional the game was.
Yeah.
Until afterwards, when everyone was running on the pitch and shouting and screaming. Upon reflection, it was quite emotional, really, looking back.
Definitely. The last month's obviously been tough for everyone, but it's sort of brought the whole club together, and seeing Andy the way he is and the family, it's just brought everyone together as a whole, more of a community and a club. And on Saturday, the win was something special. Yeah.
So what we, let's go back to last Thursday. We could go, you got training tonight, haven't you? What was the thoughts after Thursday? You were like, right, we'll just keep it tight. We know we're still in the race for a away cup. Yeah. We'll maybe nick a point. Or did you think, right, we're going to have a go at these boys? What was the thoughts within the camp?
I think, we sort of just, I always think the Geordies games, just try and enjoy it. Because we've gone into the game in the past and been like, we've had tactics and all sorts. And we're 4-0 down, 20 minutes in.
Like so, most teams, to be fair.
Yeah, so it's like that. But then I think Danny Mack, especially for me, he made a big point on trying to organise. And the training sessions, I thought, were quite intense. I know Danny as well, he made a few big changes for that game. Like Killier came in, so Glenn was out. Danny Oram scored a hat-trick against them, and he was out.
Yeah.
So he made a few big changes. So I think after Thursday, especially after looking at their team on the Friday, I thought, these are there for the taking.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, after training on Thursday, we were discussing between ourselves, obviously. We're always confident, and we had to be realistic that Geordies are obviously a very, very good team. But we were quietly confident as well that we could try and sneak a result here or there. And
yeah.
We end up going out there and being able to do something we wanted to do for many a year.
Yeah,
now.
A lot of teams have wanted to do. But
yeah.
Not only were you not 4-0 down after 20 minutes, you were 4-1 up at half time. What was that like?
Going to the change rooms, it was incredible. Because obviously we had to sell a second half to play. We knew Geordies were going to come back stronger, as they always do in the second half. It was trying to maintain excitement, but also maintain the idea we still got a second half and we still got to go out there and do what we can try and do to get the win.
I think they're probably the fittest team in the island as well.
Yeah.
So I think everyone knew they're going to come at us, and we're going to be in the cash, and we were, but our defence was just outstanding.
Yeah.
Three at the back, especially, and Kelly as well, and they were superb.
Well, I have to say, what did Danny say at halftime? Was he like, right, did he roll out the old cliche, 0-0 boys,
I think that was mentioned by someone.
Yeah.
Himself, Watto and Les, D-Mac, they all made sure that we were aware that we still had a second half to play and the game wasn't done, made sure we realised we had to obviously respect Geordies, that they were going to come on strong and they were going to have chances, but we stick to our game plan and try and get the win.
And when that third goal went in for them, was it a bit of squeaky bum time?
Yeah, it was very squeaky.
I'd just come off, and I wasn't even looking, and then I heard everyone screaming, I was like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
You just assume it's going to happen, but I think we just sort of somehow just stick together at the back, and we were solid.
Deep down for me, when the second goal went in, I was thinking, oh, this could be it here. I thought the game was gonna then it was go 3-4-5-6 and that would be it. But
we didn't have much going forward.
Second half, I was done at half time.
Just one to him and then just sort of hope he can get something. The rest of us were blowing like so.
And I suppose the big question: how quickly was it before you were on the phone to Connor, Sean?
Oh, he was actually messaging my mum. My mum was giving him updates saying, "Oh, it's 4-1 at half time, 4-2, 4-3." But Connor was obviously, as brothers do, he was congratulating me, but also I'm sure deep down he's a bit good.
Yeah.
He's already lost.
Well, you can always say he wasn't there.
Exactly.
None of the blame could be apportioned to him. So is that one of the best results you guys have ever played in? You know, as individuals.
For me personally, yeah, definitely. Like, especially since being at the club, that's the best result I've ever been a part of. I can't think of any other.
As a team performance,
team, obviously the context and what's happened in the last month as well as beating Geordie's, that's got to be up there. One of the best ones for the club.
We just seem to be working that bit harder for each other than usual. And I think, like, at the time, we didn't realise, but afterwards we were like, we were really all together there.
Yeah.
And people have said that that's the best I've seen you play, full stop.
Not only does it show everyone that Geordie's aren't unbeatable, but it shows everyone how good you guys can be on your day. You know, the sky's the limit.
I think that's it. We've always been told by various managers over the past couple of seasons that, like, we've got more potential. And I think it's got stage now where we need to deliver, otherwise it's just wasted. But I think we seem to have stepped up a bit this year. I know some results early on didn't go away, but like you said, I think that result showed what we are capable of.
Definitely. We've got, obviously, in the league this year, you've got some very good teams, Laxey, Rush, and Old Boys. They're all still up there and thereabouts. But it's now for us as a target to try and kick on and try and get past them and try and maintain our top four.
Yeah, do you think you can get into the Railway Cup?
Obviously, I think it's definitely achievable, but it's obviously down to still working hard and maintaining the focus on getting into the top four.
Yeah.
I think you can. We've got, well, obviously a tough game in Mary's, going to be a very tough game, but then we've got, with no disrespect to the other teams, we've got three, what you'd say, easier games compared to playing Mary's.
Yeah.
But we're just taking it a game at a time, really, making sure we get one win each week and then go
it's
again.
In our hands now, essentially, which it wasn't before Geordie's game, so now it's down to us, so
definitely
that's all we can do, give ourselves the best chance.
You sort of alluded to it a little bit there, Sean, but I think this season, especially after this week's results, everyone seems to be capable of taking points off each other. You know, it makes our jobs harder. Maybe when people say, "Oh, who's," you know, when you try and predict results, but I think back to last weekend again, Laxey and Peel. And I know Laxey were missing a few, but the way Peel had started, you had said you would never have called a 3-0 win there.
Wouldn't have thought. Obviously, Peel dropped points to Colby. Colby gave him a very big game 2-2. So you're thinking, what's going to go on there? Laxey maybe get a result and then he'll go in to win 3-0, so it's just, you just can't predict any results at all at the minute.
So as you say, you should keep it interesting right up to the lines. But how do you think, if you potentially you'll be there, who do you think will be there as well? Obviously St George's and St Mary's look to be there, and I think Geordie's are qualified mathematically.
Yeah, St Mary's need like a point on.
Yeah,
so they're both there.
You say yourselves, who else do you think will be in the mix?
Personally, I think Russian will take.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Mm. I'd be most impressed with them. They're quite hard to play against.
Very hard, and very well structured, aren't
they? Yeah, so I think they'll, I'd pick them.
And Mike Williams seems to have found a bit of form. He's obviously, I was referring to him as Josh Kelly Mark 2.
I'm not sure about that hair, though.
Well, both have questionable hair choices, let's put it that way. But they're both big, strong, mobile lads who can obviously know where the back of the net is. Mike scored 3 at the weekend against Colby, and seems to be gathering a bit of form, doesn't he?
He does. But speaking of good form in front of goal, you guys are playing well. I mean, you've had a good start to the season.
Josh, top goal scorer.
I don't know what's going on, do you?
I don't know.
Everyone keeps saying to me, what's going on this year? And I'm like, what did I? It used to be bad or something. I'm like, is it that surprising? But yeah, it just sort of happened. Just that's it. I can't explain it.
And Sean, I suppose you're playing a bit of a slightly different role. You're having to hold the ball up a little bit and bring in likes Josh. How have you found that? Because you started out originally as a midfielder, weren't you?
I was a left back actually. When I first joined Corinthians, I was coming as a left back, but unfortunately Darren Kane took that position. it's nice. It's obviously still learning every week of players and playing against and obviously training and stuff like that. But it's nice having players like Josh and other players in our midfield and out wide. You can make myself look relatively good at my job.
it makes it a lot easier for us having Sean up top because we just hit him all the time.
Yeah.
So it gives us that option, even when we're in trouble, back to the wall, just hit Sean and then we'll play off there. And then
Do you find you're getting marked out of games now, though? Because people are sort of beginning to cotton on to the fact that they will try and launch for you.
In a way, yeah. I like to think I can vary my game in so much that I can play a ball to my feet. But if not, I can always, on the crouchy roll, can knock a header down. But yeah, obviously, people now are realising the sort of player I am and can be. So it's hard to obviously try and keep my game mixed up every week rather than being so one long ball route.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Steve Whitley seems to have settled in well.
Yeah, he's good friends with a lot of us, but he's a very, very good player in his day. So yeah. it's a great addition to the team.
Is he still talking about that goal against St John's?
Oh, I think so. He mentioned every training session he's trying up in the halfway line. So
is it even his goal?
I have to say I gave it to him, but then my reflection, I think it's because I felt sorry for young Callum in goal for St John's.
Yeah.
I think he's played much first team games, and within less than 10 seconds he was picking it out.
Yeah, he must have been. Yeah, it was tough, but I was saying to Steve before he hit it, I was like, you're not hitting that. I was like, why are you hitting that?
I can't believe he did that. I was about to have a go and
I was exactly the same.
Has he tried it since?
He's talked about
it against Geordies,
yeah, he tried it against Geordies, but I think a few of them boys laughed at him.
All out of play for that one.
So where do you think this leaves you for the rest of the season? Obviously, you want a good spell of form at the moment. You said you want to be in the top four. You've beaten the genuine title contenders. Does that put you in that same bracket now? Or?
I wouldn't say we're title contenders at the minute. I'd say top four is definitely a target. That's the aim. That's been our aim every season. But I think this season, we've got obviously a lot of reason behind it. In the context it's been in the last couple of months, we've got the hunger and desire to sort of achieve that now.
That's it. First and foremost, I think it's just Railway Cup, and then if not, then we just try and beat our points total from last year and have a good cup run.
Yeah.
Because we're obviously not going to win the league, so I think the cup runs gives a good chance.
You say that, Josh. Strange things have happened. Leicester won the Premier League.
That's
an example.
And
you've touched on it a few times, and it's always something we mentioned as well. You have a tremendous team spirit, seeming to. You are a bunch of mates, basically, playing football on a Saturday, aren't you?
We definitely. I think we've probably got them one of the tightest before the last month or so. We have always had a tight-knit group.
We've always had that, yeah. Even before what happened to Lewis, we were always good group mates, and I think other teams recognise that.
Yeah, that's always sort of, when I speak to players from different teams, you can always see that they always say, oh, you're a good group of mates there, aren't you? A good tight group. And I think the last month has shown how tight we are and how much we've came together.
It's maybe come even closer, really, as a team.
And I suppose makes it easier to, if you say to Josh, are you having a shocker here, mate? Come on, or I need you at training, you'll do it for each other, as opposed to someone.
It's all said in the change rooms and at training. No one's scared to say, you need to do this or that. So that's it. I suppose that's the benefit of it all, really.
And you seemingly settled side. I know you brought in Dan and Steve this week, but you tends to be the same 11, well, largely a settled 11 every week, and there's not really much transfer activity in or out of the club.
The good thing is, obviously, as you said, we always seem to keep hold of the same players every year, but it brings everyone tight together, and we also have so much competition for every place, which when you've got your mates pushing yourselves, it is really good for the club, and it can only be a positive thing.
I saw that just last week with Killier going in netting in place of
Glenn. Dan, as Josh said before, Danny Orms got a hat-trick, and then he gets dropped to the bench, and he didn't even say a word. Like, a lot of respect for him, because he didn't mention it, we didn't complain, he took it and then came on and did a job for the team again.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to see.
Nice to have that options where you can swatch it around. Now, enough of the serious stuff. You were probably, as Josh said before, his phone was going mental last night, as was mine, because of the... I've never known so many Twitter questions. You two are obviously very popular chaps.
Yeah, we hardly got any for Hattie last week.
No, poor Hattie. We did get a postcard from Altingham the week after. But no, our mailbag was bulging, as it were, our virtual mailbag. I've had to whittle them down because it was just... So many, weren't there, Dave?
Certainly were.
Are you going to kick off then with our first one, Dave?
All right, this one's for you, Josh. This is coming from Phil Quayle. Why did you let Chris Cannell take that free kick in California, even though I told you to take it?
So I take this is a school's trip.
It was, on the way in the school's California trip. I think we were, I don't know what the situation was, but we had a free kick edge of the box. I think Phil was like, Josh, you're taking it. And I wasn't too sure on it. I don't know why, at that moment I thought, I'm not going to really fancy this, and Cannell's a good bet. So I was just like, Cannell, you have it. Cannell took it, and I look on Phil's face. And that was it. He didn't let me forget about it. So
well,
the reason
obviously,
why...
He obviously still has sleepless nights about
he
it.
He mentions it every time, see? It's like 8 years ago, Phil. But a bottle, basically, yeah. Give it to Cannell.
And did he take
it? No, I think he blazed it over. That made it even worse.
Chris. this one's to Sean from Connor Dowell. He's off travel at the moment, I believe.
Somewhere around the world,
somewhere South America, boys.
It's good he's still got 4G wherever he is. he wants to know, obviously, people don't know, you're a big basketball player.
Yeah, represented the Island last year, the Island Games, although you did have an ankle injury.
Yeah, first few minutes of the first few games, so yeah.
Yeah, but he wants to know, who has bigger hands, you or... Yeah, come on, I don't know. What's this guy?
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard, who plays for the Spurs?
San Antonio Spurs.
There you go. That shows our basketball knowledge. I only know I barely know them, the local team. Fellas and Paramount and whatever they're called.
I'm going to have to go with Kawhi, I'm afraid. Obviously, I've relatively big hands in terms of. he's a freak.
Do you ever attempt, because you have your size, stature, you're not tempted to go on goals at any point?
I've actually tried, but I can't say I'm any good in it. I played a combi pre season game. that's probably my first and last game ever going in there, probably.
So say Adam or Glenn get sent off, what's plan B for the Corinthians? Has that been discussed? Or?
No, I can't say it has.
It could be a plan C, definitely.
Darren Kane's quite the cat. He rocks up sometimes and goes in there.
Another basketballer as well?
Yeah. Basketballer, yeah.
Actually, we got Connor's question. It's got me thinking, which is a rarity, I know. If you were picked for both the basketball team and the football team for next year's Island Games in Gotland, which would you choose, Sean?
It's a tough one to decide, but as I went for basketball 2 years ago, I'd love to go with the football lads and experience that trip with that group of lads and see what we could do. Obviously, they got close to winning it in Jersey, so it would be really good if I could be a part of that next year as well.
There you go. An exclusive for the Manx 40 pod, I think.
That's it, yeah. Controversy. So, right, another one for you, Josh. This comes in from Jamie Delaney. What's the best volley that you've ever seen live?
I'm guessing he scored a volley.
Yeah, I was going to guess that.
You know what? It's not. You're playing in school football. You know when you have your house football?
Yeah.
We were playing the semi-final against some team, and a ball got played over the top to this lad, David Dockett, his name was. I don't really think he plays football. He was going out by the corner flag, and he first time volleyed it, far post, side netting, for us to go 1-0 up, and we had an awful team. Yeah. So that was the best volley I've ever seen live.
It sounds Van Best.
It was, honestly. It's the best thing I've ever seen. Volley, honestly, I still can't get over it.
Obviously, before the days of Hattie and his YouTube channel. We've had a... the Agent Rashid, the mysterious figure from the North football circles... he's sent in a series of questions. Now, I'm hoping there is some context to this. Although it is quite a good question in itself.
It is, yeah.
To both of you, what's your karaoke song of choice? We'll kick off with that one, Sean.
Mine's got to be Ignition by R. Kelly.
Oh, good choice. Yeah, good choice. Good choice. I'm a big fan of I Believe I Can Fly.
I'm sure
as a basketball player yourself, you will.
Yeah. I can't say I do fly, though.
No, I'm sure during one of Dave's basketball reports you probably did. But Josh, what's your...
I'd have to go with Aretha Franklin. Respect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, old school.
Old school.
Curveball,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's it, yeah. What would you...
Oh, I don't know. I can't sing. I'm too deaf.
Well, I've dabbled in karaoke in the past, and I quite like Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. You know, a bit of Top Gun.
I've
seen the film.
I'll tweet you the link, Sean. I forget Top Gun was probably before you were born. So he also then goes, who'd win in a sing-off between the pair of you?
If he does a good job at the Franklin, I think he might have it.
I can't sing.
Do you know, isn't it not team karaoke nights?
Oh, we don't really do that now. I think Josh would smoke me, though.
I was trying to get some going last week with Team Dream. What song was it again? Marvin Gaye, wasn't it? Yeah, you know, Mountain High, but no one was really interested.
Put it on for about 10 seconds and it was off straight away.
Do you have tunes in pre-match?
Yeah, we do. I'm not allowed up, to be honest.
Neither am I.
No.
It's mainly some of the young lads with like the new dance stuff, so.
Oh,
that's it. UK, I just
UK, crack steps on. There, yeah.
Yeah, UK Garan and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. It's a bit of a motivational, I wouldn't know.
No. More of a UK top 40 guy.
It's questionable there, but.
Is it a Spotify? Do you chip in? I'm intrigued by the playlist selection now.
I think it's just YouTube. I'll just go on.
It's mainly Phil, isn't
it?
Phil
DJ Kelly's
Phil Kelly.
Yeah,
so he wouldn't let everyone else ever go.
Available for birthdays, is he?
I think so. You can speak to him, yeah.
Well, okay. Agent Rashid obviously wants to know, because he is the island's premier super agent, if you, either of you need any representation in the future. Get in contact with him. Podcast favourite
Joey Andrews. He's always good for a question.
He is the Paxman of Manx football, I would say, because last week he asked an amazing question. He's asked a series of amazing questions. He asked Ant Moore what school shoe size he was in year four.
Surprise, surprise, Andrew couldn't remember.
Yeah, yeah. He did tweet me. Because we asked him what he was. He said he was a four, which is probably about right. Because I said six, and then we thought that was actually quite big.
What about you, Sean?
I was really small when I was younger. I was only until 16. That's when I started actually growing.
Okay.
So I was probably had small feet back in the day.
What are you now?
I'm 13.
Wow.
So.
Flip the neck. Yeah. Do they bespoke or? Do you...
No, I get a lot of stick from the lads, but yeah, thankfully a few websites do some shoes for me.
Dave, go on.
Would you rather be a professional kite flyer or drive the train at the wildlife park?
Oh, tough question.
Drive the train for me, yeah definitely.
Same for me.
Do you want to know something, lads? I've actually done this.
Have you?
It was amazing. They've got two trains up there. I must admit, I wasn't allowed on the steam one because you have to be like certified for that. But they have like an electric one which goes 5 miles per hour. And it's pretty much push and go. It's a bit like Scale Electrics, but on a bigger scale. And it was like amazing. If you get a chance to do it,
it sounds.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. It's always when I was a kid going up there, I'd always wanted to drive the train.
Yeah, no love for flight kite flying. That's pretty hipster esque activity.
Yeah.
Can't say I've ever.
No, I'm not Indian enough.
Done that. Yeah.
Unfortunate, Joe. You're on your own there. So. Tom Richmond. He sent a question in. This is another good question. Who would win a fight between a polar bear and a gorilla?
Polar bear.
No hesitation there.
I'm going for gorilla, man.
Don't even start me. We had this discussion in sixth form.
Right.
And we got quite heated at one point. And we decided, based on statistics, it's a polar bear.
I like the fact you've used statistics.
Because they're just, I think they're like 8 or 10 foot, and they're like 2 or 3 times as heavy as gorillas. Yeah. Gorillas are just like our size. Maybe not as big as him. Just like stocky versions of us. It'd be a good fight.
It would be a good fight. Eddie Hearn could get it on one of his under.
Maybe.
Sean, question from DJ Phil Kelly. Now, I presume there is, again, some sort of backstory to this.
Yeah, there's a backstory to it.
Are you in Panto again this year?
I'm not at the minute. I've said no. The story basically is that I used to work for a lady when I was a lifeguard, and I sort of helped out in the Moran pantomime.
Oh, right.
And I went from being a dwarf to a dancing donkey.
A dwarf?
So, yeah.
Was that an ironic role?
I'm hoping so, yeah. That was the idea behind the role. But, yeah, it was good fun. It's good to do something different, but I get a lot of stick.
Did Phil come and see you?
No, he didn't. They all said they were going to. It was going to be front
row.
That's
terrible.
No, I'm honestly, that made me really happy that they weren't there.
I think you should have a Corinthians. Maybe that's a question closer to Christmas. We could ask people, who would you slot into key roles in Panto,
yeah.
within Manx football? You know, who would be your villain?
Well, Joey Andrews has got to be in there.
Lee Ford would probably be pantomime villain.
Yeah, I imagine so. Sean Quay,
good
villain.
Yeah.
We'll save this for Christmas. This is the Christmas special. Yeah. Right, we're going to... Heinously, I forgot to talk to anyone after my match on Saturday. I was at St John's 3-1 winner of Douglas Athletic. The irony is I did speak to someone, but forgot to record the conversation. So there's no interview this week, so we're going to just plough straight on headlong.
Yeah.
Means these boys might actually... cutting edge reporting, that's world-class reporting. Well, probably these boys can get their sandwiches a bit quicker. So we're going to go into look at this weekend's football. Big game on Saturday in the Premier League, isn't it, Dave?
Down at the Bowl, yep. St Mary's versus St George's.
It's a big game.
You're going, aren't you?
I will be. I'll be live tweeting as always. Hard to see which way this one's going to go after last week. Boys, do you think George's will bounce back?
I would go for Geordie's. I think they might have a few players back this week. But obviously Mary's have been great. We haven't played them yet, so I don't know much about them. But they're obviously winning everything, so... But I'll probably pick Geordie's to win that.
Sure. I'm actually going for a draw. Both teams have got very good defences and attacking players as well, so it's going to be a very tight affair, I think.
I think this is going to be a massive test for St Mary's, and to see gauge where they're at. They obviously they're the only undefeated side in the league now. But they just seem knocking the results out of the park.
They've got Geordie's might have Callum and Pekka back. I think you mentioned in your preview.
Yeah, they're returning to fitness. Callum scored 2 with Combi last week, and obviously Kieran played against you guys, so they're getting there.
Yeah, so if those two could play, then it could be a tough old game for St Mary's. But Alex Harrison's in superb form, isn't he, at the back of them?
Yeah.
So I think a draw.
Yeah,
I think the other thing with St Mary's as well, they seem to be so quick on the break. It remind me a little bit of Old Boys a few seasons ago. They can just break like lightning, as it were. It's quite topical because the Lightning still moving this week.
Got some very quick players like Steedo, Matty Rennie, players like that.
Matty Rennie seems to be having made a cracking start to his career at St Mary's.
He's got four at the weekend, didn't he?
And they're all, you touched on St George's being fit, but all those boys, half of them are boxers. So they, when they play you, it could be another close game, I think. That'd be a rearranged fixture, so we don't know when that'll be slotted in. But obviously, it'll have to be in before the end of November.
Yes,
for the Cup. So we had the vote this week, even though. Did you read the vote? Did you see what I put?
Just at the last minute, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't actually put the word winning.
No.
So I said, who will, between St George's and... So that, amazingly, people have interpreted my lack of win, and it was incredibly close. It was 95 votes, 46% went for George's, 45% for St Mary's, and 9% with Sean as a draw. I think Sean might be onto something. I think it could be a draw as well, because, as you say, both defences are quite well matched, but... It's going to be a cracking game, though, nonetheless.
Absolutely.
What should be a damp squib now?
Yeah, don't say that. 0-0.
Yeah. Friday night, there's a game at St John's. St John's Old Boys. Have you played any of the Friday night games, boys? I think you're
I haven't. I've never played a Friday night
game. I have once, yeah.
What's it like playing in the floodlights? Is it?
It's better, yeah. More atmosphere, and like more people come down to watch because it's something to do on a Friday, so I like it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, St John's Old Boys, it's got a big say potentially in the Railway Cup. Old Boys are hanging on by their fingernails, aren't they?
Yeah, they only just beat Ramsey last week, didn't they?
Yeah. They got the 3 points, which is all that matters.
Yep.
They need to keep winning, otherwise, they're going to slip out of contention, don't they? Yeah. St John's, form team. They've won four of the last five now. And I'd probably go into this one as slight favourites.
I'd say so. I mean, St John's were good against St George's a few weeks ago. They're only defeating the last five games. You fancy their chances, but Old Boys are playing good football as well, and they've got a lot of speed and attacking talents in that squad, so should be good.
Well, St John's is obviously you've played and beaten them. I thought I was at that game; they were terrible that day. I thought the second half
they had a bad day, didn't they?
Yeah, first half they weren't really there to be seen, but second half they came on strong. Thankfully, managed to hold out for the win, but they were a good side second half.
Obviously, the win took out their sails by Whitley's wonder strike within the first minute. First of all, first 10 seconds. Your game, you boys are off to Bella Fletcher. You're hosting Colby. As you said, it's just a case of taking a game at a time at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we expect us to win that game, but like Colby, they drew a Peel the week, so there's obviously got something about them. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a tough game, definitely.
I've heard good reports about Colby. Actually, a lot of team players have said that they're hard to break down. So it could be a game where you have to suck it and see, and just not get downhearted if you're not ahead within the first 20 minutes.
I think fitness will be an issue in that game as well. I think you guys will probably have the edge in that sense as well. So home advantage.
Win. Blacksea make the long trip. Well, it's not probably one of the shorter trips for them. It's up to Ramsey, isn't it? Where they play Ramsey at Ballacloan. You have to say Laxey need a win now, don't they? They were looking pretty comfortable in third, but that 3-0 defeat last week against Peel has sort of thrown them back into the mix, hasn't
it? Yeah, be interesting to see if they've got their players back, because as you said before, they were missing quite a few, weren't they?
They were missing six, is what Stephen Rand told Eric, so that is a big loss for any team. So, but Ramsey, they seem to be pulling along, don't they?
Well, they pushed Old Boys hard, so you never know, they could just get something out of this game. But who knows?
Have you played Ramsey?
We played Ramsey. I was on midweek fixture, wasn't it? Yeah. So they always never really engage a team on a midweek fixture. But they were a decent side. They got some good young players, but I think beyond the day we managed to comfortably beat them. But
I think that's it. We noticed a little bit with Eden Mills in the last couple of seasons. First half of the season, when they've got a raft of young players, they're just getting used to playing at this level.
Yeah.
They probably will kick on maybe in the second half when they've played everyone once. They know that there's going to be a long ball to Sean. Yeah. But everyone's been raving about Jamie Corlett, the centre-back.
He's done well, hasn't he?
He played for the under-18s, didn't he, for the FA side against, and he seems to have had a good start to the season. Now, Russian Douglas Athletic. So this Russian's your tip to make it into the Royal Cup, boys. Douglas Athletic. Now, Douglas Athletic, I watched against St John's. They scored a good goal and they look quite well drilled, but they seem to be missing. They're still missing Wolfie and Connor, really.
Yeah, they're missing that cutting edge up front. I mean, they were always going to struggle to fill those boots. But you know, they've got Gartland playing there as well, and he's a good player on his day. So I think they just need to keep plugging away, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think they'll be anywhere near relegation. I think they are safe. But like as you said, they need to keep plugging away, and players like Ryan Gartland, the team, they can pick a result up.
And then finally, the big 6-pointer this week. The 6-pointer bandwagon rolls into Gary Moore, Union Mills there. Now it's a played 11, conceded 100. Grim reading. It's grim reading. So Mills will be. You'd have to be probably favourites to claim the points again and extend this winless run.
Absolutely, you can't. You can't see any other outcome, really, can you? I mean, but Ayr will eventually. They will spring a surprise and actually get a result. But it just doesn't look like happening at the moment, does it?
No. One thing as well, which is obviously credit to them. Obviously, they've got a tough time at the minute with no combi, but they are. When we played them a few weeks ago, they were still trying to end whistle. Yeah.
They're that young lad up top.
Dean Tate.
Yeah, he's good.
Scored a hat-trick, Phil Quayle at the back. There's some good
Phil Quayle is solid as well for them.
Yeah. They scored three against you, didn't they? So that's not bad. Not many teams will have knocked that many past you. So, you know, they are. That's the one thing.
Minus three, so that's it.
The one thing going for them is they can score goals. As you say, it only takes someone having an off day and they may get the 3 points that'll drag them back into touch with the rest. Right, before we go, we're talking of Ayr, before we go on to the Division 2, boys, do you remember Niall Cummins, maybe a bit before your time, played for the Ironman FA side and was, of course, Ayr's striker at the time. He lives across now, he plays for Kurds and Ashton, who are a National League North team, I believe, Dave?
Yep.
Should know that from my Football Manager days. Did you see it came out, the new one came out on Beta this week?
Yeah, including Brexit.
There's Brexit in it, yeah.
It's very controversial.
I spent 83 minutes the other night setting my yellow team up before I pressed continue. I've got them training three times a week. It's going well. We've got a pre-season friendly against Hartlepool coming up. I'm really looking forward to that. Told the missus to go out tonight.
Yeah, you need to sign Mark Cummins then.
Oh, yeah. I tried signing once and he wouldn't come.
Shocking.
And apparently he didn't want to move to Scotland.
Football smell.
But anyway, the reason we bring up Niall is he scored for the Curzon against York City on Monday in Monday's qualifying round replay in the FA Cup. So they knocked York out because they won 2-1. They're now into the first round proper. They're playing Westfields of the Midland League Premier Division, with the lowest ranked team left in the conversation.
Yeah.
So if they win that, they'll be into the second round and potentially another league team.
Absolutely. And Niall's joined a select group of players to have scored in the FA Cup, hasn't he?
Well, we think, yes, people with Manx residency or however you like it. No, obviously, Niall scored on Monday. Justin Jackson, who used to play for Rushden. He scored a couple of goals for the now defunct Rushden and Diamonds in 2007-08, we think. According to Google, this is, of course. Danny Hattersley, former Castellan striker. He played and scored for Southport against Dagenham Redbridge in 2014 in a replay which he actually won when Dagenham Redbridge were at a league side. So, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
But, of course, if you know of any other Manxies that have scored in the FA Cup, tweet us at your mercy, as it were. Another flagstone that thing you put in the garden. Yeah. milestone this weekend is Johnny Callow. You guys all played him. Black Sea's making his 500th appearance this week for the Miners, which is some going, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Played against a few times, good player. How old is he now?
Well, he wouldn't tell me.
I was in the car yesterday. I played six aside of him.
Oh yeah.
And he said he's knocking on 34. So
knocking on 34.
Yeah.
What
still
a man.
Got many more years left in him.
Well, I believe he's dropped a combi this season with his brother Paul. He will make his 500th appearance against Ramsey at the weekend. Barring natural disaster, of course. But he is the Miners' record.
By a comfortable distance, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, it's since the record started in the 1970s, I think since Dudley started compiling them. But that is some going over 500 appearances, between combi and spread over combi and first.
I think he's about 80 ahead of the nearest person, I think, isn't he?
Is it Gary? I mean, Gary second, Gary Williamson.
It's backed a fair few goals in that time as well.
So do you guys keep tally on your...
He's got a spreadsheet on assists and goals.
Oh,
and
nice.
So. I've got goals, assists and whatnot.
Appearances now?
Not appearances now. I can't go far back.
You need to get yourself...
Darren Kane's up there. He's the old man. Him and Cannell. Darren gets a bit of stick for older player in the team.
Do you mention Darren's spell at St Mary's, or is that expunged from the history book?
We don't discuss that.
Yeah, it's best not to speak about that. He's alone
now. Right, let's have a look at this Saturday's Division 2 games. A big game in the top four, Foxtel, Castletown, Dave.
Yeah, well, there's a few good games in Divi 2 this weekend, but yeah.
Oh, you've classified it as pivotal.
Potentially pivotal, yeah. Three big games.
Sensationalising from Dave Norton, as always.
That's it. What's Divi 2? Doesn't need any sensationalising. Foxtel, Castletown. I mean, this could be a very close game. Castletown edged past Onken last week, and they're sitting pretty in the top four. And Foxtel is still there as well. And they suffered that heavy defeat to Paul Rose a couple of weeks ago, and so they just need to keep kicking on and grinding out the wins at the moment. But yeah, that could be a very good game.
Do you guys see much Division 2? And obviously you're playing.
I still try and follow them around as much as I can, see how they're getting on, obviously being an old team of mine.
Obviously, Foxdale have laid the claim of the Sean Doyle of Division 2 and Jay Chatwood. He's a very much...
Oh yeah, I also know who Jay is. He's a beanpole too, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he is a beanpole. I believe he played badminton as well, I think.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
And it's obviously Snapper's in there as well. He's another tall lad for Moran. So what are you going for? Did you say home win? No?
I'll sit on the fence. Draw.
He's going for a draw. We pray there's no more rain because Foxdale, they played last week despite last week's torrential. The Combi had a downpour. They had a Combi had a game on Saturday afternoon, which was a shock to all of us.
Yeah, we're still recovering from it. But...
so be hopefully I still think the pitch should be heavy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yes, he's probably they're scoring lots of goals at the moment. Aaron Costain in particular.
Yeah, they are in good form. I think they just as I said before, they just need to keep plugging away. I mean that.
Pulling away, the phrase of the day.
It is, definitely. But that pulley game knocked them for six a little bit, but they bounced back. So, another good game here. Castletown are a good side on their day, so they should be close.
Brandon taking advantage of the rest of the teams, taking points off each other. And they're undefeated, scoring goals for fun, in particular Mr. Glover.
Just eight last week, I think.
Just the eight last week, yeah. He's probably level with you for the season.
Yeah, more than I've got for the season.
That's it, one game.
But he... They've got Onken, they travel to Liverson. David Reese seems to have got the Onken boys playing better than they have done for a long time, actually.
Yeah, one of the form teams in the league. Like I said, they just lost to Castletown last week, but before that, they'd won three or four in the bounce, so they're right up there in the mix. So they'll give Braddon a good run for the money, but with Glover and Dempsey and that, you fancy Braddon to edge that.
Third game, we're going to look at UC Paul Rose. Pulley bouncing back spectacularly. Ian Dow would be proud of them, wouldn't he?
Yeah, two words. They're a tough start to the season. It's kind of mirrored by Youthy, really. Youthy had a good start to the season, have sort of fallen away a little bit. They've had a fair few high scoring games recently, and this one has got goals written all over it. So, yeah, it should be a cracker. Wouldn't like to call which way it's going to go, though.
Your old team, Sean, in action away at Bottomside Maloo. You'd have hopeful.
Yeah, you've got a back Moran, definitely.
I watched them the other week against Royal. They blew a 2-goal lead, which they probably won't let me remind them about. But it's a very young team.
It is a very young team. It's always sort of been that way. David Bruin, Keir Morris have always tried to get the young boys through. And players like Stree Morris and other players along that line are very, very good, very young players who hopefully can try and push him back up the table.
There was most joy because Cameron Avery scored a header in that game. I believe he doesn't score many.
He doesn't, even for his size.
Even
when I played there, he wasn't a player who scored many goals, so I'm sure he'll enjoy that.
Yeah, so you'd have to fancy him around, especially Dave Brew's got a tremendous beard on the go at the moment.
Has he? No, he's a contender for beard of the season.
Well, he could make the initial qualifying section even. Josh, might have to regionalise it.
Grows a little bit there.
Yeah, maybe. I had one last year, but I just couldn't cope with anything.
Beard oil's the secret, right?
Beard oil.
Yeah.
I need a bit of that as well.
Douglas and District, Michael. Michael's still one goal for the season.
Yeah, D&D, they should win this. One of our favourite sides here, aren't they, D&D? We'll have to give our usual weekly shout out to Dave Matheson.
Yeah, he'll stop listening otherwise. Yeah.
But, yeah, Michael, they're still struggling for players, I believe. And I think this will be a tough game, a close game, but D&D should win this one.
Yeah, if Daniel Clegg, Stuart, have I got it right around? Stuart Clegg?
Stuart Clegg, Daniel, something like that.
Whatever your name is, Daniel, sorry. It's one of those way rounds. If he finds his score, he should have to favour D&D to win that one. Final game in Division 2, Jim's host Governors Athletic. Now, Jim's lost to Pulley last week, and they seem to be very inconsistent.
They're a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde side, aren't they? But, yeah, you would fancy them to win this one. Governors, they got a couple of wins, didn't they, recently, but they seem to have reverted back to type in the last couple of weeks, but with a few tough games. But, yeah, you would fancy Jim's for this one.
Right, heard it here first, Jim's to win at home.
Worth just saying about the fundraising.
Oh, of course. Yes, Louis Stand, the club are trying to raise a stand in Louis' memory. There's a Just Giving page initially looking for £5,000,
don't you? £5,000 is obviously the initial target. I think overall it's going to cost about £15,000. So yeah, obviously anyone can give any money to the fund, it'd be very good.
And if you just go on the Just Giving, search Louis Thornton Memorial, I think it is, and it'll come up. We're agonising close to £5,000 now. It's about £4,500 at the moment, which is fantastic. Because it's been only open a couple of weeks,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's great, yeah.
So as the boys say, feel free to go look and donate away. And they're looking for corporate sponsors, I believe. I spoke to Adam.
Yeah, we're looking literally any sponsorship, any donations possible from anyone, any company, any individual. So
maybe a sponsored panto?
Possibly. I think I want to be me in that show. So.
Get a karaoke.
A cabaret. It'd be like Phoenix Night. Right, guys, thanks for coming in. Don't forget, you can tweet us throughout the week. You're off next week, aren't you, Dave?
I know, it's a rare holiday for me.
What am I going to do?
You get one of these boys into co-host. That'd be all right.
We might have a Twitter conversation, and you can see he wants to come and co-host with me next week.
Joe Andrews.
Joe Andrews, yes. Perfect. Paxman Andrews, we'll get him in. He'll show me up, though. He's got too many good questions.
Yeah, do it. Just for a laugh.
Okay. Right, you can tweet us through the week, Manx40blog, @Manx40blog. Anytime, day or night. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I presume you two both do that, don't you?
Yeah.
If you just search Manx Football on iTunes, we're there, click away, and it'll just drop in as if by magic, as if by pantomime magic. We're also on Audioboom, audioboom.com/channel, SoundsBanksFootball. All of them are there. We're up to be 8 after this one. It's fantastic, isn't it?
We're doing well. We haven't kicked us out yet.
No, they're still putting them up there. So feel free to do that. Right, till next week. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.